Hi, welcome back to Hour 2 of the Weekly Reverse Speech Show. And in this hour, I'm going to introduce two young filmmakers to the show. And that is Jamie Fassienda. Have I pronounced that right, Jamie?
You are close. You added an extra pizzazz that I like. It's Fassienda, yeah. Fassienda. Jamie Fassienda.
Fassienda. I added extra pizzazz. Sorry. And Michael Young. So, And Jamie and Michael have been working on the documentary that I've been talking about. So I think what we'll do is we'll take them one by one. And Mike, why don't you start off by telling my audience who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having us on the show, David.
Oh, you're most welcome. My pleasure.
Yes.
I'm the director of the film. I've spent the last decade as a creative director working on numerous films and commercial projects. And this is one of my first roles in a feature as a director in a feature position. I'm very excited. I've known David for a good few years now, and I'm excited to tell his story. It's very interesting.
Yeah, right. And Jamie, tell us about you. How'd you get involved in the film?
Well, Michael brought me in. I'm a producer on the film. I'm a documentary and a television series producer. And when Mike told me about the story and what Reverse Speech is all about, I was really interested from the get-go. And then once we dug more into the story, it became something that we both decided we wanted to make a film about.
All right. Well, that's what I like to hear. So, Mike, what initially attracted you to Reverse Speech so much so that you wanted to make a film out of it?
Well, if you remember, David, actually, we started thinking about making a film together about language.
That's right.
Not specifically about Reverse Speech, but I was interested about looking at how language is interpreted and how people interpret it. Stuff in the media and political speech, and Reverse Speech was going to be one angle of looking at that.
Right.
But then Jamie and I started to, we did an interview with you kind of to figure out your story and learn a bit more. And we learned about not so much just Reverse Speech. I knew quite a lot about that beforehand, but about the kind of struggles you've had to get it out there, specifically the controversy and the people who've become so against it.
Yes.
It's kind of crazy how much fervor is around it.
Yes.
That was kind of what attracted me. I just thought, I wanted to make a story that, you don't have to believe in it or not believe in it. You don't have to I wanted it for people who are against it and not against it to watch it and be like and see that you've worked extremely hard, and this is my kind of goal, which I said from the start, is that I want, the biggest critic of it, the biggest skeptic to watch it and just open their mind a little bit.
Right.
To kind of go, because I think I'm a big believer that, one of the most dangerous things we can be as people is closed-minded, and especially when it comes to new technologies. And I believe there's a lot of things that we know of the world today, when those were first proposed, the people were, laughed out of the room.
Right. Yes, that's true. Exactly.
So I kind of wanted to take just one person who was pursuing a new idea, and the fact that so many people tried to shut you down for so long, that's something which I want to kind of look into and tell that story, because I think people need to stay open-minded, and we need to always be prepared to look into new technologies and look into avenues, because if we don't, then I think as a society, as a culture, as a species, we'll stop growing.
Right.
So that's kind of what really attracted it to me. I think you've worked really hard for a long time, and I think you deserve to have your story told to the world.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think I do too. I've been doing it for 34 years, and it's a fascinating topic. And Jeremy, what do you like about the whole film?
Well, first of all, a round of applause for Mike there. That was awesome. I'm really fascinated by subjects like this in things that are potentially shown as, you know, fringe or outcast for some reason, but has the power to change people, change society, change the world. I mean, like, just diving into it, I know there's effects psychologically, socially, economically that you're involved in with reverse speech. And who's to say that if it's, you know, who's to say what science is not? Right. Right away. I mean, people, like Mike said, like the internet, people laughed about the internet before it was invented. I'm sure there were cavemen laughing about the wheel before it came out. I just want to find out more about it and follow the story of reverse speech.
Yeah, right. So you came into the whole field knowing very little about it, I would imagine. What's your feelings about it now? You've been into it for a couple of years.
Mike, you want to start this one off?
Yeah, I gotta say, I think I knew a little bit more because David had worked with you beforehand. I think something that both Jamie and I did was keep an open mind, but also not take a side, because
right.
we didn't want to make one film either way, because the film for us is not for people who are wildly, just for people who are wildly supportive of it and wildly against it. It's for, you know, it's about introducing it to people who don't know anything about it, and how is the best way for us to introduce that. So we wanted to be our ideal viewer, someone who's just coming into this, who might not have heard about it, and to present it in a way without the fervor, without the controversy or the wild acclaim. Just be like, this is the world and this is David. And my kind of thing that really shocked me is that even though I knew David for a while, I worked with it. I remember, you know, I think it was our third day of filming. It was the day we actually sat down and David, you played Reversals to us. And I think Jamie was off running a few producer responsibilities at that point. And it was me, the sound guy, Morgan, and the camera guy, Paul. And we start listening. And the first few were like, okay, yeah, we can hear it. And then it got, some of them are just like, oh, wow, that's like really hard to deny. And you weren't even telling us what they were beforehand. And it was so clear. And it's like, it's that situation where you kind of sit up and go, wow, like, is it? You know, like, even the biggest skeptic in you is like, oh, it's really hard to disagree with.
Yeah.
It's so clear. Yeah. And the thing I think, which also freaked us, is that it's so relevant to what they're saying in the foreword. Like, it's not just random words. It's like, it relates.
Right.
To what they're saying forward. And that kind of, so that point for me is like coming into the field, you know, it wasn't until I actually sat down with you and you played them that I really was like, you know, I really started to, you know, my eyes started to open, and it became harder for me to have a rational mind and be like, oh no, you know, this can't be true. Or like, you know, I had to just listen. Like you said it a lot. I just had to listen to what you were playing. And that's what a lot of people don't do. Is that people who criticize the world won't listen to what you're playing. And when you do listen to the reversals, it does really make you think and make you, you know, I think it will challenge any skeptic. Because there's a, you know, like the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I see it every day working with my clients, you know. I play my clients all the reversals, and there's like, wow, that's so clear, you know. And all skepticism fades away. I often say all a skeptic's got to do is come and sit with me for one day. Just watch me do Tate for a day, and we'll see if you leave a skeptic after that.
Yeah. We should film that. We should film that for the documentary.
Yeah, skeptic coming. Could, yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah, you and a skeptic together.
Yeah.
Bring a non-believer in. Do a session. I mean, I got interested in it right away. Well, I mean, I got introduced to this early in my life in like an elementary way, I guess, in like terms in high school. Me and my friends would like have fun going through all these like backward masking online, right? So I always thought that was super interesting, and we'd like go down the rabbit hole of that and spend a whole night having our minds blown. And then when Mike told me about you and what you do, and that it's actually a thing, like a real thing, and start going the rabbit hole on that, and I just got super into it. It's just so interesting.
Yeah.
and then the and just stories. I mean, I won't reveal too much about what we filmed and your stories yet, but
right,
just how I can help people when you're with language issues, with depression sometimes. Your sessions with people with business dealings, and I mean, you're all over the gamut in terms of the secrets you can unlock. So,
yeah, it's got some fairly specific and direct applications, so which is very exciting. So what stage are you at now? I mean, I know a lot of people out there are fairly anxious to see something. So what stage are we at?
Right now we are trying to raise some more money for post. Well, we have a little more shooting to do, a couple more trips here and there.
Yep.
But right now it's all about putting the pieces together and going into post production and getting this thing edited and ready to distribute.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm not a film expert, so what does that entail? What, going through all the footage, getting the story together? What's the process?
Yeah. Well, we did, back a couple of years ago. So we did our big trip to Australia, as you know, and we filmed the majority of our footage where, you know, we did interviews with you and your family and friends and stuff like that. And we've been reaching out to various students of yours, clients of yours, people who have been kind of involved in reverse speech, people who know your story. And that has been our focus since we started, is really interviews. You know, documentaries are kind of a tricky beast in that, unlike feature film where you have, you know, you just know exactly how many days you're going to be shooting and you know exactly how many days you'll be doing post-production.
Wow.
Documentaries, you're filming real life. And, you know, the best documentaries often take 7 to 10 years because you want to let life unfold.
Right.
You know, so you got to make a decision of, you know, when do we finish the film and what do we film? Like, I think even in the last year, you've been telling me some updates in your life, which we think are interesting. And, you know, if we had finished the film a year ago, we wouldn't have got to include those updates.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, it's a case of that, you know, we filmed and then we've been editing a little bit and then we need to do more filming. And I think now we're getting very much to the end, especially with our trip the end of May.
Yep.
To come see you in your lecture. I think after that, maybe a couple more interviews, but we're really going into the bulk of the post-production phase now, in that we will sit down and edit, and, you know, there's lots and lots of footage to sit and edit. You know, each interview, you know, your interviews are 2 days, you know, 2 10-hour days.
Right.
So there's lots of footage, so we have to sit through that and start making decisions about what, you know, what's the narrative, what's the structure of the story, and then, you know, from there we build scenes and we bring viewpoints in through our interviews and different points like that. So, you know, we're probably at the midpoint as the overall process of it all. We're kind of just excited to kind of keep digging into it. It's kind of, I think it's a fun but frustrating process in that you want to just get it all done, but you also just need to put the time in because it's such a hard medium, film and documentaries, I think, especially. I was speaking to a friend of mine who's a documentary filmmaker, and I met him and I told him about it a couple of years ago, and I met him again a few weeks ago, and he was I kind of, when I first met him 2 years ago, he was like, I told him, oh, you know, we plan to be done in a couple of years. And he was like, you're not going to do that. And then I met him a couple of weeks ago and he was like, are you done? And I was like, no, not close. And he goes, I told you. Because it's just, it's hard to force real life to unfold quicker.
It's not just like one event or a singular occurring event. You know, this is your story, your legacy, your updates. Every update changes the direction a little bit, so
yeah,
always in a good way.
It's 3 decades of story, you know, story we're telling, and every time we want to tell something, it's not just about telling it, it's that we want to show it. So it's like, how do we show that? So if we want to show you on the news, we can spend weeks trying to find a clip of you on the news, and getting the appropriate rights to put it in and the appropriate quality version. So kind of each decision has a lot of work behind it. And sometimes we make a decision and we then edit the film into a next evolution of it, and it's like, ah, this no longer works. Or we need to change it. So it's definitely a, you know, it's like, say, comparing it to like narrative, where you sit and write a script and you have scenes and you know before you even start shooting, this is everything I need to make this film. The documentary, you're kind of filming and building the story, and you just kind of go with it. It's like a river. You just kind of you let the river kind of take you where the story is. But it's been a very exciting process so far, and I'm very much looking forward to work more on it. I think Jamie could have attested the fact that Jamie had a bit more production experience and just experience it with this kind of film and medium before, and I think he especially in the early stages handled my enthusiasm very well, in that I could have had certain ideas of how we're going to do it and the speed we're going to do it, and Jamie's experience has helped kind of guide the film to where it is now, which has been a great support system to have.
Right.
Thank you.
Where do you want to see the film played?
I think for me, this is something which we got to figure out. The market, the way people are watching film is changing so dramatically at the moment. It used to be the network TV was the big place. And this, I think Jamie and I both decided that we kind of want this to be a 1-hour TV special.
Right.
Rather than a kind of feature film, because we think that's where it fits best, where this story fits best. And so trying to find where that's going to be, you know, even before we started this, is that like 2 years ago, Netflix was still it was probably 3 years ago actually that we really started thinking about it, that Netflix was still they're a big company, but in terms of creating content, they were not the beast they are now. And now Netflix is buying every single film that they can get their hands on and digging into, you know, traditional TV medium and cable TV. So it's going to be a case, I think, that we will finish it and we'll see what we have and we'll take it to festivals and markets.
Right.
And then just see who gives us the best, you know, vision for it.
Yeah.
Ideally our goal is to get it seen by as many people as possible.
Yeah, I'm wary of saying what outlet or distributor we would go to. I don't want to shut any avenues, you know? It all depends on the direction this goes. I know it's kind of big, but you just never know.
Yeah,
right. Whoever's going to, you know, each, you know, typically what the process happens is you go to these markets or festivals and all these different distributors will give you a pitch and be like, this is our vision for it. So, you know, we kind of will decide when we go there and we get those bids in, like, oh, you know, who's going to tell our story the best? Who's most in line with our values? Who's, where is our home for this project? I think, you know, Jamie and I have some ideas, you know, we won't reveal it yet, that where we'd like it to go. But, you know, you just keep an open mind and see, you know, you get some companies that are like started, you know, these distributors just have every year there's new distributors, some fold, some come in, and you'll have maybe a new distributor come along and all of a sudden just want to pump money into projects, and they're young and hungry, and they might go above and beyond to push a film because they want to make, you know, they want to get their name out there.
Right.
So you just kind of, you read the market as it is when the project's ready. And I think that's something I'm very excited to see. You know, I think Jam, I'm sure David, you are the most excited. It's been 30 years in the making.
Yeah, I'm already. Yep.
I think that's a big day that I'm looking forward to, is the day we actually go show it to the world and we get somebody else who's willing to show it to more people.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's what we're waiting for. Okay, how can other people get involved? I mean, how can my listeners and other people in Reverse Speech contribute and help getting this out? You mentioned you're raising funds. What's the process?
We put together a little funding page, and this is specifically to raise some money for our filming at the end of the month to pay for flights and camera, a little bit of equipment. So anyone who's listening can go to voicesfromtheunconscious.com, and that'll take them to the page. And any amount is very much appreciated, and there's various perks on there, various things that we'll reward you with for helping us out. There's also, you know, you'll be able to join kind of a mailing list for the project so you can keep up to date. And actually, if you keep that domain name, we'll be using that throughout. It's voicesfromtheunconscious.com. We'll be using that throughout the whole project to as a hub of information about it. And then also, if there's anybody, I don't know, Dave, there's a way people can get in touch, but if there's anyone who has they think they have a unique viewpoint about reverse speech, a unique story about, you know, it's something which is poignant, we'd love to hear those as well. We'd love to hear your experiences of it.
People can email me at backwards@reversespeech.com. So we're two addresses to write down, folks. We're almost at the end of our first segment here. Voicesfromtheunconscious.com. If you want to contribute to the film, we need to raise funding for our next round of filming in 3 weeks' time. So voicesfromtheunconscious.com. And if you've got any ideas or suggestions, then email me, David Oates, at backwards, that's B-A-C-K-W-A-R-D-S, at reversespeech.com. That's backwards at reversespeech.com. Okay. Yeah, so the website will... I believe there's a little trailer you've made that people can see, like a little mini intro clip.
There's a little sneak peek.
Sneak peek.
We can't reveal too much at the moment. We like to keep a lot of what we're doing.
Just hold the line. We have to go to top of the hour break. Don't touch that keyboard, folks. We'll be back right after this.
Do you struggle with your weight? Are you frustrated or discouraged? Think you've tried everything to lose weight? Tired of weight loss products that promise results and don't deliver? There are 12 main reasons why you struggle with excess weight and have a difficult time losing it. From overeating to hormonal imbalances, an underactive thyroid, even sleep problems, and even dieting itself. The truth is, the 12 causes of weight loss problems are all addressed by one product, Royal Velvet. You, yes you, can join the scores of Rinse listeners who have stopped the madness and no longer struggle with weight issues. Maybe you've heard them talk with Jeff about their amazing transformations on his show. Simply go to RoyalVelvetNow.com, click on the weight loss section, and learn the truth about the real reason obesity is a deadly epidemic that you can avoid. Then click on the Rinse icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you will be on your way to a healthier, slimmer, more youthful you. RoyalVelvetNow.com. Your life will never be the same.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio Superfood. I've taken Bio Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the weekly Reverse Speech Show. My guests for this hour is filmmakers Michael Young and Jamie Fassenda. Did I get it right that time, Jamie?
Crushed it. Got it right.
Right. Okay. And we're talking about the Reverse Speech documentary, which is in production now. We just gave you out a whole bunch of websites and email addresses, so let's do that again. We have a whole round of filming to do at the end of May, which I'll tell you about in a little sec. We need to raise money for this filming. So if you want to assist Reverse Speech, any amount will help. Go to voicesfromtheunconscious.com. That's voicesfromtheunconscious.com. And there'll be a link there for you to contribute. And your donations will greatly help Reverse Speech. I see this documentary as being very, very important. It's the next step of Reverse Speech. There's been some really interesting documentaries hit the market just recently, one on Tesla and one on Einstein, and so there's a fair bit of interest out there in this type of stuff. So yeah, go to voicesfromtheunconscious.com, or you can email me direct if you've got any questions at backwards@reversespeech.com. So there we go. And when they go to that website, what are they going to see, Mike?
So it's going to be a fundraising page. So we put together a little sneak peek preview, which is part one of our favorite things that we filmed, I think. We're very happy with the little segment that we filmed. We think it really shows the tone of the project. We don't want to give away too much of the story yet, although most people who know you, David, will know a lot about, you know, what's going on in your life through your books and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just a little sneak peek to kind of show people what we're creating and hopefully get them excited about it. And then there'll be a little bit of information about what we're raising, why we're raising, what the money will go towards. And then there's a few perks. So, you know, depending on the amount you donate, you know, we'll give you something in return to say thank you for that. Various different options for that. And you can, you know, through that, there's a secure way that you can donate money to the project. And every penny of that, every cent of that will go towards our filming in the end of this month.
Yeah.
To capture more of David's story, to capture more. I don't know if any of you who are listening are going to be there at the lecture. I hope you are. We'd love to hear your stories as well and what interests you with Reverse Speech. So yeah, that's kind of what we're doing.
Yes, so there are people listening to the show who will be going to Ashland. So let me, for those of you who don't know, let me give you some details out. Now, the lecture is going to be on Saturday, the 27th of May. It's going to be in the Ashland Public Library in Ashland, starting at 7 o'clock and going through to probably 9 or 10 o'clock. This is the only lecture I'm giving in, well, the only public lecture I'm giving. I'm giving a couple of private lectures while I'm here, but this is the only public lecture I'm giving. Saturday, May 25th, in Ashland, Oregon, and the closest airport is Medford, and that's about 20 miles up the road from Ashland. So if you want to fly in and meet me, all my books will be there for sale. You can get my books autographed and meet me, and maybe get yourself in on the documentary, because I know Mike and Jamie both want to film, get more people who are just interested in Reverse Speech, maybe some clients, some students. So be along there. We're going to be filming a very important interview at the end of May with Jeff Rentz. Jeff Rentz is, of course, a long-term friend of mine, and I've been doing his radio show since 1996. So we go back a long way, and he's obviously a very big believer in Reverse Speech. So we'll be interviewing Jeff, and we'll also be interviewing Jeff Toth, my right-hand man. And Jeff has been with me for 20 years now. For those of you who know Reverse Speech well, you will know Jeff. He's been a guest on my show a couple of times, and he's handled many of your tech support questions that you've had flying at him. So he's going to be interviewed at the end of May as well, and some little updates on me, and I've had a bit of a change of appearance since the first filming. I've actually lost 90 pounds, if you can believe that.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations. 90.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I feel great. I look great. Yep. So,
it's because we left it all that crafty. We didn't have it around anymore.
Hey, you left all that?
It's because we left it all the craft services. That's all the food when you're filming.
Oh, right.
That's how you lost the weight, huh?
Probably so. Just strict dieting. So there we go. So you'll have two appearances of me on the film. One with carrying a bit of weight, and one with none. There you go.
You know, I was talking to you about it before, David. But I'm interested to know, kind of considering that, how did any of your viewpoints change or evolve? Or, you know, we talked about a lot when we were filming. You know, obviously you've lost all this weight since then, and gone through a lot of different changes in the business part of our speech, and you've released a couple more books, I think, since we last filmed. But, you know, while you were filming, did it open up any ideas for you, or did it, how was the experience for you?
Well, I just enjoy getting the story out. I mean, I've had quite an amazing history with reverse speech, and it's an amazing story, the things I've been through, and I just want to get all those stories out and get people listening to them, and so that was fantastic to get all that out. I mean, which ones you use, which ones you won't use, I don't know, but I've had a very long history and career with reverse speech, which makes it interesting. I mean, personally, I think this is a Hollywood movie version, quite frankly, and. My autobiography is going to be out the end of this year, called It's Only a Metaphor. So watch out for that one, folks. That's in the editors now, and that'll cover a lot of my experiences over the years. But it's been a very interesting time, interesting journey I've been on. It was good to having all you guys here and in my house, and cameras and lights and microphones. That was all good fun.
That was great, yeah. Definitely enjoy it. It'll definitely be a highlight. Just going to Australia as well is an incredible journey.
Oh, yeah. Well, Australia's a great country.
No. Yeah, I didn't realize how big it was. I think because so much of the people are on the outside of it, but when you actually look at the size of the country, it's huge.
Well, it's larger than continental United States, excluding Alaska and Hawaii. So, people have no real conception of how big the country is.
And I think that was an important, I think, you know, Jamie and I both wanted to say, you know, it's definitely a part of you. And it's, you know, a lot of what we did was we went back and looked at your history. It's an interesting part of the story that this kind of idea comes out of, you know, halfway across the world.
Yeah.
And that must be interesting for you to have, you know, both when you released Reverse Speech and now and since then, is releasing something and having people across the world talk to you about it and message you and be like, oh, I just heard about it. Like, that must be a very very powerful kind of thing to get that feedback from so far away.
Yeah, well, of course, with our modern world of the internet, you know, there's no such thing as barriers anymore, you know. And I sit in Australia, and I have a staff working for me in Canada and America and Australia and India. You can really have an international company with the internet. So that's pretty amazing. I don't know if that answers your question. But.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a question. We never actually talked about that. How did the advent of the internet becoming worldwide usage, did that propel your theory around the world?
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes, the internet has really opened it all up. I mean, when I started, the internet wasn't even heard of, you know, and when I went to America to live in 89, no such thing as the internet then, and I used to do lectures, and I used to cart around cases and cases of cassette tapes. This is before computers could hold sound files, and have to change one cassette and put another cassette in, and crisscrossing all over the country doing lectures and stuff, because now you can do it all online, do an online webinar, have a harem of people turn up, you know. And so the internet has really changed the world. It's certainly changed reverse speech. And, yeah, it's all onwards and upwards now. So, So, and of course I work from home, as you know, and most of my clients are all overseas. 80% of my clients are overseas, either in America or England, and that's the wonder of the internet. So I don't have to go and live overseas. I can stay home in my nice little house next to my family, which is also very important to me.
If you haven't been, you got to go. You got to go to David's house.
It'll be a shrine one day.
It will be, yeah.
I think the little sneak peek where we're going to release shows a little bit of your house, and I think it's a big part of your character.
Yes, yeah.
That's why we like it so much, because, you know, in film we're visual people, and we like to show, not tell, and I think your house is a great way of showing you. Even down to your backwards clock on the wall, and your license plate with reverse in it.
Yeah, my reverse license plate. Yeah.
So there's
the satellites on the roof, or
yeah, all my ham radio antennas. I've got a very unique house.
you definitely stand out on the block.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Cool. And then I think we talked a little about it, but just going to reiterate, talking about people, you know, across the world, if anyone is kind of listening to this and does, you know, not necessarily to be just be filmed, but just like to, maybe they feel that they have a thing to say about reverse speech that we might not have heard, you can email David, or you can email Jamie directly at the our producing email. Just let us know your stories. Let us know you know, how reverse speech has affected you. Let us know your reactions to it.
And what's that email, Jamie?
secretsofspeech@gmail.com.
Okay, secretsofspeech@gmail.com. So that's three addresses you have to remember. First of all, the URL, voicesfromtheunconscious.com. You can get a sneak peek at the doco, and you can contribute. And we do need your contributions. Making documentaries is not cheap. I can personally attest it's cost me a lot of money so far, but that's okay. No worries. We'll be cool. And of course, the guys are also contributing, and yeah, it's all going well. So, yeah.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So after May, what happens then?
You can talk about this, Jamie. Tell us a little about the post-production process.
Well, like we said earlier, after May, you know, you take the footage back, you sort through it all, fit it into the puzzle, maybe make it fit to the puzzle. Making a documentary, it's like, yeah, it's not just like a puzzle. You have 300 pieces and they all fit together. Sometimes you got to clip a piece to make it fit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you just got to see where everything comes together, and it just sitting down with all the footage, it's spending time pulling B-roll or like Mike said, like news clips, or getting some motion graphics together to help better display your concepts and visualize all that. Licensing footage, all that good stuff. So it's really just the nitty-gritty of making it one final piece.
Right. Now, you're going to be getting archives of some of my old TV appearances in America, I believe.
Yes.
That's a goal.
Yes, yeah, there's quite a few. And I don't know where my copies of them are. I can't find them. So I'd love to get a hold of them again.
There's whole libraries that hold a lot of that footage. And sometimes, you know, I'm not sure who your Larry King interview was. Larry King, is that NBC or ABC? I'm not sure what network that was.
CNN.
So, you know, sometimes CNN, and they have their own libraries that you can go back for. And sometimes it's just find the right keywords, you know, because they do have a database of them. But, you know, they don't always label them as you would think. You know, right, you know, they they would, you would have thought they'd put David Oates or Reverse Speech, but sometimes they do it in the wrong order, or it's, you know, David O, stuff like that. So it's really hard to, especially the clips that have been that far back that have been digitized, and some of them are not even digitized yet. So they just, they have them in, you know, in storage somewhere. So you know, we have to hire an archival, archival expert, and we tell them what we want, and they go out to the world, and then they specialize at finding old footage. But you know, that can be an expensive process, so we always wait until we know exactly what we want,
right.
And then we kind of do it all at once. Right. So yeah, we'll definitely look. Hopefully, we can find some clips that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, probably so.
Surprising.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know there's been other TV specials undone on Reverse Speech that I wasn't a part of, so I'm sure you could find some other stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if it was you sent it to me or I found it on my own, but there was a Progressive commercial.
Oh, yeah, the Progressive commercial. It's classic. Yes.
And there's like two guys in the basement reversing. I can't remember what they're reversing, but they're reversing something. And, it's just funny. It's, you know, I think it just shows that this idea is in people's heads.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And, you know, whether it's strict reverse speech, but the idea that there's messages in reversal, you know, that is... And I think, you know, one thing that you could definitely say is true is that you've definitely been a big part of getting that into people's heads. So whether people are aware of your full message yet, the ideas are starting to leak into people's minds, yes, through various avenues, through the exposure that you've worked hard to do. And I hope the documentary will do a similar thing, because... You know, it's a fascinating story, and you know, taking aside the science of it and the actual reverse speech part of it, the journey in itself is very interesting. Mm. And very, very ups and downs. Mm. Like, you've definitely been a person who has faced a lot of not just contrary, but just a lot of, like, you know, excuse my French, bad shit.
You're right, I have.
And you know, that's, you know, that not all that to do with reverse speech. So I think that's, it's interesting to see how, you know, anyone who is interested in seeing a story of someone who believes so much in something that they will not let anything stop them from telling it, telling what there is their truth and what they believe is important to the world. That's really the story we want to make, you know, a story of someone who will not give up. I think it's an admirable quality of you. There's one thing that I know for certain is that you believe completely, that you believe it 100% completely, and you have only good intentions for it. You know, that's something which I definitely believe about you. So I'm very interested. You know, it's interesting to see how you react to all the stuff that goes on. I think that's a good part of what we're telling. I think a lot of people will be surprised of, you know, stories. I remember we kept finding little stories that you were telling us, and you'd always be like, "Oh, I don't think I've said that before," or, you know. So hopefully, we brought out some stuff from your history, from your mind, from your memories that no one's heard before, because we brought that out,
yeah.
And the people will be able to see a side of you that they might not have seen before.
Yeah. I like the shots you did with my grandkids, playing with my grandkid. That was pretty cool.
That was fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was your 60th birthday.
60th birthday, yes. Yes, yeah. That's right, yes.
A milestone.
Yeah, milestone birthday, yeah. Yeah, a little bit older than that now. Not too bad. 61. Lost night. I don't look too bad for 61, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
The documentary is sponsored by Weight Watchers.
Absolutely.
You're listening out there.
Yeah, you'll be the new face of Move In With Jennifer Hudson. David Oates is the new face of Weight Watchers.
Yeah, right. Well, you've got plenty of before shots, so you can get some afters as well. Yeah, right. Okay, so... okay, so the website's online now. Voices from the unconscious.com. Well, as of time this show airs, we actually recorded this 2 days beforehand, folks, because I'm going to be on the road Friday. I'm traveling. So off to Las Vegas for 2 days, lecturing at a halfway house. Of course we had her on the show, Cassandra, about four weeks ago, talking about Hustler House for women coming out of prison. So I've been doing some session work with some of their people, getting some quite amazing results, and I will be there on the weekend doing a lecture and a workshop and doing more reversals. So there you go. So I get around. Yeah. And, right. So look ahead. The documentary's out. What sort of impact do you anticipate it's going to make?
Oh, that's a tough question.
That's a tough
one. It's, you know, I think Jamie and I will be looking at it from a film point of view.
Right.
In that, you know, we try, it's really, you know, you don't really want to tell a story just about what you're telling. You know, that's the face. There's always subtext to a story. Right. And that's the story we're telling. That's what we're interested in. We're interested in your story. We're interested in, because that's the human element of it, and that's the, you know, that's the human part of storytelling, and you want to connect that, and that's why people sit and watch something, because they have an attachment to it. Right. So, you know, our job is to make something that is true, that is authentic, and that is, you know, entertaining to watch, and, you know, make people enjoy the experience of it and learn something from it. And, you know, that's our focus, is to try and people want to watch your story because we did a good job at telling the story.
Yeah. Nice.
So that's our focus really now. It's such a hard changing market that we just don't, you know, like I said a little bit earlier, like we just don't know, you know, we've got ideas, but we don't know exactly where this film will end up or what final shape it will take. You know, there's a lot more work to go into it to get it into a place where we're ready to show it to the world and really let people know about it. So I think from a film point of view, you know, both Jamie, our goal is to, you know, get it out there as big as possible and make something which reflects well on us as artists. Mm. You know, that's, you know, we pride ourselves in telling a story. We want to make sure we tell your story well. We hope you like the story, and we hope you feel we were fair in telling your story, and we did a good job in telling your story. That's important for us.
Yeah.
And you know, in terms of the field as a whole, you know, I'd like to see, and you know, I think something I mentioned a little bit earlier, but something which, you know, going back to this idea of being open minded. I feel like the world is very polarized at the moment. Everyone just is so attacking each other for different beliefs and different, you know, different political beliefs, different personal beliefs.
Right.
That, you know, sometimes people can pigeonhole themselves so much into a way of thinking that they just shut themselves up to new opportunities.
Right.
Yeah. And I really like the idea that this film that might get people to watch it and be like, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't have been so closed-minded.
Yeah,
And I feel like you're one person. Reverse Beach is one example of many fields that are probably ostracized for different belief being different. And I think you're ostracized a lot. So maybe just showing that you're a real person,
exactly.
Is, you know, that might just open some eyes for people.
You might well do that.
You're passionate and driven, and this is really a hero's journey about, you in Reverse Speech. And I know there are points in your life and career where you had to like almost resuscitate it from the dead and bring it all the way back. So
yeah.
I think that'll touch people.
What about same question back at you? What do you think the impact will be? What do you hope the impact will be?
Well, exactly that. I hope it'll open people's mind. They'll start thinking about it and maybe wonder if there's something more to it. All right, folks, that website, once again, is voicesfromtheunconscious.com to see a little teaser of the doco, and to contribute, we need to raise money for this filming at the end of May, so go visit the site. Thank you very much, everyone. This is another successful DJO show, And I will be back next week, same time, same channel. Bye.
I'd like to invite you to take a look at some of the most important products in the realm of health and hygiene I've ever seen, all from Trioxy. As many of you know, ozone oxygen is highly effective for many different uses in the home or office place, from purifying the air you breathe to the water you drink. In fact, the city of Los Angeles, among others, uses ozone to purify the drinking water for millions. Uses of ozonated water produced by the Trioxy Pure include washing your hands, disinfecting cuts and infections, brushing your teeth, and even washing and sanitizing fruits and vegetables in the kitchen. Meanwhile, the Trioxy Re-Ion ozone negative ion generator will clean your indoor air of pollen, smoke, odors, mold, bacteria, and viruses, and more, and will put extra oxygen into your bloodstream and clean your body just by you being there. I hope you'll drop by and visit GoHealthyNext.com and take a look. The prices are more than affordable, and the results are priceless. That's GoHealthyNext.com.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3, commercial-free, crystal-clear, 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rentz.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rentz.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times.